Welcome to My Heart Songs podcast number 82, The Cure. A friend, going through some challenging times, remarks half seriously, "Life is a bowl of pits, and what doesn't kill you makes you weaker." He inadvertently stimulated various wandering musings on the seductive illusions and delusions that attempt to make modern life tolerable. I watch my own avoidance patterns. Netflix streaming, Amazon shopping, internet YouTube, and various folks with their rants, and even educational TED Talks, all of which take me away from any actual creative engagement with the world or my fellow travelers. His remarks got me contemplating again the whole notion of grief and mourning, the shadowy realms our society fights so hard to keep away. One of my favorite poems for forever is entitled The Cure, by Albert Hufstickler, affectionately known as Huff, in the Austin poetry circles he frequented. I rarely do this in podcasts, but here it is in its entirety. We think we get over things. We don't get over things. Or say, we get over the measles, but not a broken heart. We need to make that distinction. The things that become part of our experience never become less a part of our experience. How can I say it? The way to get over a life is to die. Short of that, you move with it, let the pain be pain, not in the hope that it will vanish, but in the faith that it will fit in, find its place in the shape of things, and be then not any less pain, but true to form. Because anything natural has an inherent shape and will flow towards it. And a life is as natural as a leaf. That's what we're looking for. Not the end of a thing, but the shape of it. Wisdom is seeing the shape of your life without obliterating, getting over, a single instant of it. I love this poem because it directly addresses our obsession with fixing things. A variation of the hold it together, suck it up, be strong, grin and bear it training so many of us get as males. We want to fix someone else's childhood wounds or their grief at losing a loved one. A noble but misguided impulse. As I talked about in podcasts 29 and 43, being fully present, actively listening, and just being with someone and their grief is much more important. A dear friend who knows the inside story on grief, having lost a teenage daughter and then his wife to a stroke and then recently another wife to cancer, wisely shared that when memories come, he makes a critical choice to have them remind him of the marvelous life they lived rather than their untimely death. Grieving well is really about having lots of tools in the toolbox: meditation, good friends who get it, healthy distractions, solitude when desired, and deep connections when that is the more comforting and healing path for that particular day. I was so ill-equipped at age 22 when my mother died while I was in medical school. Did not know how to reach out, self-nurture, or anything about the grief process. I did take some comfort in my ability to cry, journal, and immerse myself in work, motivated by her death to become a better doctor. Frida Kahlo once mused, "I tried to drown my sorrows, but the bastards learned how to swim, and now I'm overwhelmed by this decent and good feeling." The curious expression of submerging sadness until it cannot breathe arose from using alcohol to stop feeling unhappy. Eating or drinking to cover up or displace grief or loneliness is a time-tested, maladapted behavior. It certainly brings some relief in the short term, but ultimately does not serve us because it only increases our depression once the transient lift dissipates. It seems like a good idea because it temporarily stops the descent into what feels like an overwhelming well of despair. Yet the maxim that the only way out is through is a deeper truth. I've learned over the years that I must provide space for everything grief brings, all its unpleasant baggage of anger and fear and sorrow. And it is not just the big losses in our lives that can weigh us down, all the small disappointments of living, the minor players on the stage of melancholy have their disheartening effects. Once I finally learned to light my own candle, then the fear of darkness vanished. The journey to wholeness through grieving is a necessary passage that reminds us that even failures and tears keep us moving and growing. Grief can be so disorienting as to make no sense at all. The protective numbness that insulates us from drowning in feelings initially serves us well. As we move through grief stages of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, we do not so much get over the loss, but somehow find a way to fit it into our life. When we are so full of emotion that we might burst, there seems to be no way out, no escape. Tired and wired, needed sleep eludes us, and we're tormented by the litany of what we should or could have done differently. Guilt, regrets, and resentments team up to quickly destroy any sense of emerging peace. There are no adequate words to express such confusion and sorrow, and we may find ourselves irritated by those who try to do so in their misguided attempts to comfort us. What brings us back from such an abyss is the time-honored truth of one day at a time. How wonderful it can feel when we are able to break the pattern, even for a moment, and move beyond our preoccupation with self to something greater, a fount of creativity or service to others that is still alive under all the layers of wretchedness. Through my grief, I recognize that healing is any change for the better. Thanks again for listening, and remember, friends and family can easily sign up at myheartsongs.org.